So towards the end of the liturgical year, the church invites us to reflect on the end of times. It's a little uncomfortable. Traditionally, we talk about the four last things. Those four last things related to the end of time, the end of the world, the end of our life here on earth is death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Now, I don't know about you, but three of those are pretty uncomfortable. All right? Death? Nope. Judgment? Nope. And hell. So that means heaven is one I think anyone can get behind. But we need to talk about all of it because it's a reality. And if we sleepwalk, then we might be caught off guard. All right? So three questions like why? Why do we focus on the end of the world? We'll look at the first reading. How do we prepare for the end of the world? And look at the gospel. And what next? If I want to grow, look at the second reading. So, why? Let's look at the first reading. This is from the Old Testament, where one of the Old Testament prophets, the prophet Malachi, is sharing what the God has given to him about the end of the world. Short enough, I could read it again. Malachi writes, "The day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, says the Lord, there will arise the Sun of Justice with its healing rays." So, the reason we talk about the end is to remind you of the choice that you have now. That at the end of your life, there are two possible destinations, heaven or hell. We talk about hell not to scare you, but to the reality. Just, you have a choice. But your choice is not just your word. Oh yeah, everyone, if I ask how many of you want heaven, everyone will raise your hand. But that you choose with your actions. So coming to church is a way you choose heaven. Accepting the gift of salvation. Now, why is hell depicted as fire? Well, one reason is Jesus talks about the fire that does not quench, or the fire that does not stop burning. But today's first reading gives another hint, like why hell is depicted as fire. Because this day is called like a blazing like an oven, okay? And I would suggest it's how, like my attitude towards God depends on how I will receive this fire. Okay, what do I mean? What do I mean? Well, there theologians suggest like the two possibilities, like why hell is called a fire. One of them is closeness to Satan, and another possible reason is saying no to God. Okay, what do I mean? Well, the church teaches that angels are a part of reality, that you have a guardian angel. But there are more than just angels that look after humans. There are angels that look after cities, angels that look after countries. And there is an actual, like, order of angels. The higher the angels, the more important the task, so to speak. So the highest angels are not committed to serving on earth, but the highest angels are committed to serving God and God alone. Of the highest angels, the two highest orders are the seraphim and the cherubim. The seraphim are those that are closest to God. And the name for seraphim means literally the burning ones in Hebrew. The burning ones. And so those are the angels. You have the highest angels closest to God, and you have the lower angels. They're not lower in dignity, but they're closer to earth, so to speak. And those higher angels are closer to God. But they're all in God's presence. So, theologians suggest that through revelation that's alluded to in the Bible, but it also occurs elsewhere. When God created the heavens, he created the angels. When God showed the angels the plan of our human creation and the plan of God to save us through the incarnation, some of the angels accepted that plan, but some angels said no. Lucifer, he was one of the highest angels, the seraphim, the burning one. He was closest to God. But Lucifer, because of his pride, said, I will not serve. Because of that, Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. And so one reason why hell is depicted as a burning fire, because it's closeness to Lucifer, who is the burning one. And so it's being close to Satan that is a spiritual fire. So that's one possibility. But the second reason, the second possibility, is how you receive God's loving you. The book of Hebrews describes our God as a consuming fire. And in today's first reading, that fire is received by those who love God as healing. Again, for you who fear my name, Malachi says, there will arise a Son of Justice with his healing rays. So for those of us who, yes, I want this love, I want the love of God, that love is received as healing fire. But for those who say, I will not serve in one way or another, and reject God's love, that fire of love then becomes painful. It becomes painful because I'm saying no. I'm saying no to that fire. And so that's another possibility why hell is this painful fire, closeness to Satan or an eternal no to the love of God. Okay. So that's the why, because you have a choice now. You have a choice now. To say yes, as you are saying yes with your body here, you're saying yes to his love that is freely offered, the free gift of salvation. We do not earn it, but he will not force it. It is your choice, yes or no. Okay, why? How? Like, how do you do this, right? I mean, I'm telling you, you're doing it now. But what about when things get bad? Let's look at the gospel. They ask Jesus, when will the end come? And Jesus says, see that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. The time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For such things must happen first. Okay. So the how is quite simple. Jesus says, all these bad things are going to be happening. And he gives a few simple commands. Do not be deceived. Do not follow the false teachers, and do not be terrified. All of that's to say, when bad things happen, it's easy to focus on those bad things. And it's easy to get distracted, discouraged, like these bad things are going to overtake me. What did Jesus say? Do not be deceived. Do not follow false teachers. Do not be terrified. Effectively, when it gets really bad, turn to the Lord with all your hearts. Trust him every day. Every day. He invites you to trust him, to turn to him. So, I think of, for those of us participating in our missional fast, the message today is from St. John Henry Newman. God has created me to do him some definite service. Therefore, I will trust him. In ministry, there are times when I encounter people who are wondering, what is the point? And typically it's those who are younger and those who are older. What's the point? Why am I still here? For someone who is homebound and may be discouraged, why is God keeping me here? Again, St. John Henry Newman, God has created me to do Him some definite service, therefore I will trust Him. What does this mean? That you are here today for a reason. God could have called you home, but you're here. He has a plan for you, even if you don't know that plan. And for those who say, well, I can't do the things I used to do, you can still pray. And that is definite service. God has created me to do Him some definite service, John Henry Newman writes. Therefore, I will trust Him. So that's the how. It's daily trust. Do not be deceived by false teaching, Jesus says. Do not follow false teachers. And do not be terrified. He invites us to turn to Him and trust. Okay. Now, finally, third, what next? What next? What if you feel, yes, I know the salvation. I'm doing my best to give my yes to Jesus every single day. What next? This is part of our continued culture of invitation. So, past 3 weeks, I've been inviting us to grow in inviting others. Because the renewal of a parish happens with renewal of individuals, renewal of people, renewal of families. That's how this renewal happens. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at the invitation. When I talk about inviting other people who maybe not normally come to church, first, it's not your invitation, it's Jesus' invitation. Last week, I looked at what's the thing that stands in the way of us inviting other people. And I suggest fear is a big block to inviting others. And God is passionate about helping remove blocks to His love, including fear. This week, what is an incredibly powerful, effective way to actually invite someone to something, to invite them back to God? I would suggest, let's look at the second reading to find out how. What does Paul say? He's guiding this Christian community. Paul says, you know how one must imitate us. We wanted to present ourselves as a model for you so that you might imitate us. So he repeats that. He's instructing and teaching them. What Paul is doing, he's walking with this Christian community. He is accompanying them in a really powerful, effective way to invite people to relationship with God. Is saying, hey, there's something at church. Why don't you join me? Accompaniment. Okay. And I'm going to give you something you can invite someone to. Starting in January, we're going to start our next Alpha in English. Alpha, as I've said before, is one of two engines of renewal in the church, in the parish right now. Alpha and the Acts Retreat. Alpha is a very, very simple program that has proven to be effective in other places. And we're starting to see fruits of this program here at St. Teresa. It's just an evening, a number of evenings, simple format, good meal, good video, good conversation. And that's it. What comes from that is really powerful, good connections with people you may have never met or friends that are yet to be. And so when we start in January, a real effective way to invite someone who may be not coming to church right now is tell them, hey, I want to try out this thing called Alpha. Wondering if you would join me for one night. All you do is invite them for one night. It's multiple nights, but you invite them that first night. And we try to show them that this is a program that's all about growing belonging in the parish so that everyone who comes feels like you belong, even if they don't believe it. You belong. That's everything's directed towards the greeting, the food, the video, the conference. It's all directed towards belonging. Okay? So that's the invitation. Join me. Let's try Alpha together. All right, so those are the three things. The choice. Which one of these three do you want to pray with? The choice. God gives you a choice to choose Him or to choose yourself. The Lord invites you to put down that attitude of "I will not serve," and to open yourself to Him who did not come to be served, but to serve you, Jesus. Or maybe you get discouraged by all the bad news, and the Lord says, don't be deceived. Don't follow others. Do not be terrified. I am with you. To turn to Jesus. And if you feel confident in your relationship with the Lord, maybe God's inviting you to come to Alpha and to invite someone else. Hey, come join me. So next week we're going to start our soft opening of Alpha, and then in December we're going to have witnesses pulpit talks about Alpha. So let's pray that we may be open to the Lord's love. He wants us to receive that gift, to say yes to His offer of salvation, and so that we can share with others the difference that Jesus makes.